Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you shouldn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yeah, man. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio minisode. Doing a good amount of testing things out tonight. This is partially why I'm doing this. First time I'm doing it with the new phone that I just got today. Trying to figure out where my levels are at, where my volume sounds like. So I'll listen to the show afterwards. Where the hell is this new video or intro so I can cut it off? Work out technical difficulties such as the one I'm currently dealing with. I'm also trying to test out my iPad to see what I could do as far as sound drops and stuff like that from the iPad and see what I could do there. Let me see this.
Are you drunk, motherfucker?
Okay, that was off the iPad. The problem I'm having here with this fucking iPad is I can't seem to figure out how to scroll down my sound drops. I'm noticing this is a definite issue. I think I just figured some of that out. So let me see. Top flight security.
I want you to know who you're talking to, too.
Yeah.
Top flight motherfucker security.
All right. Okay. I figured that out a little bit. I ain't going to talk with it too much on there, but yeah, it might be a little wacky in the future, but it's going to get some getting used to if I feel like doing this show outside or something like that, but I'll be able to toy around with the iPad, and, you know, from there.
Jesus!
Exactly, Zandig. So, yeah, I got a lot of playing around with things to do. Like I said, new phone, new day. I lost my phone the other day, which I kind of try to let everybody know on Thursday. I did the show with Nick Burke, and I listened back to it. I got a lot of people, you know, listen to it, and a lot of people liked it, and rightfully so. I thought it was a phenomenal interview, you know, mostly due to the credit to Nick Burke, because, man,
He gave me such detail on so many things. Through listening to it, I heard a little bit of crackling through his phone and feedback and that type of thing, which I didn't initially hear while I was on the air. But, I'll talk to him and see if, if there's anything we can work through or work out, something he was doing different towards the middle of the show. But either way, I mean, if you could just work through that, don't worry about the crackling. If you could fight through that as a listener and actually, listen to the guy's content. I mean, this guy, the stories about the Ring of Honor and, how Ring of Honor got started and some of the things that led to Ring of Honor getting started that had his involvement in it. I think those are very, very interesting things that, I never knew. I don't know that many people that ever did know that to say, oh, by the way, this guy suggested this film company or this, video company to come into the company, which kind of forced this company out, and that company launched a wrestling promotion, which is now known as Ring of Honor. I don't know many people that tell that story, so, it was a awesome thing, and then the Trent stories were phenomenal. Anybody who is listening to this now and did not listen to that, you're an idiot, because this is only a little mini-show that I'm fucking around with, and I'm going to talk about some things I didn't get a chance to talk about on Thursday, but in the same token, you gotta go listen to that interview, because I had so much fun with it. We did 4 hours. I've never had a 4-hour interview before. I did 4 hours, and still in 2 weeks we will have Nick Burke back on the air, and we have many more things to cover. He has many more Trent stories. He has many more of my questions to answer, and believe me, this is going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, just like the first one. I never thought I could interview a guy for 4 hours and still have a handful of questions. I mean, this is how you... Anybody out there who I do an interview with, I mean, if you can give me that type of content, just as far as obviously not the same answers or any of that. I don't want anybody to mimic someone's personality. But if you can put out that amount of effort as far as detail and your own opinions and thoughts on anything I ask, man, it is far, far welcome. I mean, it's unbelievable. Speaking of interviews, this coming Thursday, to the best of my knowledge, to the best of my ability, I will have Teddy Hart. And, we learned a lot about some stuff on this past Thursday from Nick Burke. We're going to learn about moonsaulting cats on this coming Thursday. Moonsaulting cats, monkeys that throw powder like Mr. Fuji. We are going to learn about turnbuckles that raise up and down as you text them. And I just got texting, so this makes me very, very excited for the future. And, so many things that Teddy Hart, and only Teddy Hart, can bring to the table in an interview. So I figure, hey, let's do it. Let's fucking do it. Teddy is one of those guys that you're not going to hear the same opinion out of most people unless you have Teddy Hart on, and then you're going to get something only Teddy Hart can bring to you. So we will be doing that for you. By we, I mean me and Teddy, possibly a moonsaulting cat. It should be a lot of fun. I am looking forward to it very much so. I was actually on the phone with Teddy Hart the night I lost my phone. And, let's just hope Teddy, shows on Thursday. And, everything is as should be. All right. So a few of the things, and I really was not that upset with the fact that I didn't cover a lot of things on Thursday as far as the pay-per-view WWE did kind of. And the Raw that they kind of did, and promise of more Raw, even though the 2 hours, the 2 hours fell so much short of anybody's expectations. They had to go out and promise you another hour because, hey, why not? Who doesn't want more of that? That was something else. The pay-per-view, what can I actually say about it, because there's so much I just don't want to say about it. There's nothing to really the CM Punk Daniel Bryan match was great. I liked the match, but I wouldn't say it was any different content-wise or money's worth. I mean, you know, I didn't pay for the pay-per-view. I'm not going to be, you know, lying to people. But in the same token, some people had paid for the pay-per-view. I'm sure someone out there who doesn't get the whole, yeah, you know, doesn't get the grasp of, you know, the internet. But so they're, they put on a match there. I mean, they put on great matches on Raw. I think they've done one on SmackDown. So even though Daniel Bryan and CM Punk tore it up, I mean, what are you going to say about that? How much credit are you going to give a company for two guys that can work a great match in front of zero people or, you know, 100,000 people? I can't give WWE credit for just putting two guys who can work a wrestling match in there. So that match was good, not taking anything away from it. But, I mean, what was the rest of the pay-per-view? Jesus Christ. The main event, we're talking fucking Johnny Ace versus John Cena.
Jesus!
Fuck. And that's, you know, they did the Big Show thing. Oh, the Big Show. Oh, how fantastic is that? That the Big Show is now working a dominant heel gimmick to get more main events. Oh, boy, that's so hard to stay awake through. So, yeah, the Big Show comes out, you know. And you know when he has no knit hat on, he means business. There's no more playing games when he sheds the knit hat to be fucking angry. You know, you fired me, the knit hat comes off. That's it. I shed the knit hat, I'm so angry. I'm red hot, too hot for a knit hat. So, you know, he marches down to the ring and drops John Cena with a right hand. No, I'm not. No. No, Brent, I'm not drunk tonight. I've had a few beers, but believe me, not to the point of being drunk. I'm just, you know, this is a mini-sode. This is not supposed to be taking it seriously. You know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, they mentioned on the Wrestling Soup and thereafter, after pay-per-view show, that, you know, Brock Lesnar, UFC fighter, could not knock out John Cena. Big Show, one punch, killer, over. I mean, oh, Jesus. It's pretty telltale as far as WWE and their continued consistency, I should say. It's just ridiculous. I can't respect that. And Raw, you know, I breezed through that. And, yeah, that was a pretty timely yawn because I'm actually, you know, yawning. But it's a very fitting description for what Raw was. I really don't have much to say about that whatsoever, other than the Big Show, again, carrying that dominant heel thing that he was doing. Just kind of crazy. I actually was more entertained by the SmackDown that I just watched last night, and that was because Damian Sandow was pretty fucking awesome. The guy's mic work is ridiculous. He's able to, Brent thinks I'm drunk. That's fun. Yeah, Damian Sandow is awesome. I mean, the guy's mic work is fucking unbelievable. His ring work is great. I mean, I think they could do big things with him. Just like a lot of the Florida Championship, talent that just possibly has not been seen enough by, you know, the rest of America. I mean, we're finally getting Claudio, you know, Antonio Cesaro, you know, obviously, that's a Swiss name. Nick in the chat is saying he reminds him of the Genius, and which everybody pretty much, you know, is echoing that sentiment that he is. He's Lanny Poffo, more or less, you know. And it makes sense, yeah, but why not? I mean, how many other guys have repeated gimmicks that were, you know, overdone? And this is, you know, something where he's coming off like an overly intelligent guy and going on there and, you know, just cutting down, you know, the crowd and everything else with, you know, all tons of big words and really, you know. And it's funny because just the other day I just said the word conundrum and someone said, is that even a fucking word?
And I was just like, holy shit, fights on half screen. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I guess Brent's telling me he's watching some other shit on one screen and then this on the other. So that's cool. Awesome. Wow, Nick's typing a lot of letters that don't go together. That's cool. So anyway, I just said conundrum the other day, and someone was like, "What is that a word?" I'm like, "Yes, it is. It means, you know, like a predicament or a situation, a troublesome decision, that type of thing. Like, this is quite a conundrum, you know." And it's funny because then I was watching Damian Sandow, and he was doing his, you know, big word talk and his baffled the audience with overintelligence and arrogance, and he used conundrum, and I was like, oh, look at him go, that's awesome. Yeah, confusion, there's another good description for it. Yes, that type of thing. So good stuff. And then, you know, he gets in the ring and he plays a lot of, you know, stiff, strong style type stuff. And, you know, he showed a little cartwheel even after the match to show he's got some agility. Like, he's even showing stuff after the match just to show people, look, I got more. I'm just holding back. I just want to talk a little more in the robe than I want to wrestle. And, we'll get to the wrestling. So it's cool. I mean, you know, they're dropping out Yoshitatsu every week. And I feel bad for the guy because, well, I mean, what did he do wrong, for Christ's sakes? Everybody, that's kind of one thing I have to do. A little bit of a problem with is everybody is coming in as fucking monsters. Everybody's just squashing. There's no, you know, coming in and, you know, Claudio coming in and working hero, hero or Cassius Ohno coming in around the same time as Antonio Cesaro, and maybe then working something together or against each other or something, and maybe eventually joining a tag team. I'd love to see them tag up again, help save that tag division. And I'm sure there's many other things that they can do to really, you know, liven up the tag division, just, you know, with the talent that they have in FCW. Not really sure if Bad Boy Bo Rotundo and his brother, Husky Harris or whatever his new name is really the answer for the tag division, if that's what their plan is. I really, really would rather see, the Kings of Wrestling, you know, go in there and do some stuff. And yeah, the squash matches are getting ridiculous just because it's all at once. And I actually love squash matches. How long did we actually go without a guy that was killing people? And now we have like five of them. It's like someone just like, talk to one of these people in their sleep or subliminally and was just like, hey, you know what I miss? People killing people. It's like, I'm doing that with five guys. I got five guys. I'm going to do it with all of them. Fuck that. Let's go. Like, holy shit, dude. What is going on? Like, who over fucking killed that story? Holy God. I can't even believe they're doing that much of it at once. It's unbelievable. Well, I mean, the other thing that I can say about SmackDown, which obviously has to do with squash matches, is Ryback, which, I'm sorry, I'm just one of the people, one of the few that I enjoy it. I enjoy Ryback destroying people's lives in the ring. I like the Goldberg angle back then. And, you know, they can't bring back Goldberg. Goldberg wouldn't look like Goldberg now. He would just like, you know, older salt and pepper beard that talks about cars on the Speed Channel. He's not Goldberg anymore. So even if they could get him back to a contract to do the same thing, and Nick in the chat is asking something I was just about to say. I don't know where the black eye came from, but I got to tell you, the busted blood vessels. Now I'm sounding like a mass maniac. I got to tell you, the blood vessels in the eye. No, but the busted blood vessels in the one eye makes him look even crazier. Now he's looking like a half a fucking Terminator, and he's just fucking scooping people up and just clotheslining people in the neck. And, oh, man, it's phenomenal. Just dropping people, make them doing, you know, moonsault bumps. And I love this shit. I just, someone should blacken his eye every fucking week that he works. Someone should just come up to him on a, you know, what do they tape the shows on Tuesday?
Monday night, whoever gets the biggest rub or maybe is even mad about getting squashed on the Monday show. You're just walking back and be like, hey, what's going on there, Ryback or Skip or whatever his real name is, Skip Sheffield or Ryback. Hey, what's going on, buddy? Whack, just punch him in the eye. You know, that's all good. Yeah, his eye popping out of the pay-per-view would be a phenomenal touch, just hanging out of the socket, dangling there. You know, someone will try to use it as a speed bag and it'll lariat him with the other arm. Oh, it all works great. I'm good with it. But what stuck out to me was pretty awesome. I don't know who the fuck the other guy was, but one of the two guys that were in there was Ricky Reyes, a guy that, you know, many of us people know on the East Coast. And Ricky Reyes was one of the guys in there. And he got Ryback. You know, he caught the six severe spine buster where his head snapped back and all that. And, you know, he got up. You know, the other dude caught the backflip clothesline. The Ricky Reyes, he caught some other shit after that. And then he picked both of these guys up like, you know, double fireman's carry type style or whatever you want to call it. And then he did that thing where he prances around like a pony, which I'm really not sure how to feel about that. I mean, I kind of feel when he does it with two people, it looks a lot better when he does that pony dance after he picks people up. But, like, if he did it with Mark Henry on his shoulders or some shit like that, I'd be like, all right, now that's fucking something else. Like, the guy's doing, like, a high-step walk with a, you know, fucking 350, 400 pounds on his shoulders. You know, that type of thing I would look at and be like, oh, wow, look at the pony strut with all that weight on him. You know, I mean, that's, I guess it's kind of meant to be impressive because he's, you know, bringing his knees up while carrying somebody. But, you know, half the time the guy weighs 165 pounds, so doesn't make any sense. But, I mean, I guess to put two guys on your shoulders kind of gets the point across a little bit. And overall, I like the monster type character. It's just crazy. You got Ryback doing it. You got Pensei doing it. You got fucking Antonio Cesaro doing it. You got Sandow doing it. yeah, it's funny. Nick in the chat saying, Cole was saying, we never seen anything like this before. No one has ever picked up two guys at once or something along those things. You know, it's funny. I watched Michael Elgin pick up, shit, I'm going to forget these names. It was on where CZW brought in the Germany guys on, I think it was on the Best of the Best doubleheader. Might have been Best of the Best. I think it was. But he had picked up fucking, Jesus Christ, now I forget these guys' names. Big Van Walter and John something. But those fucking guys were far bigger than Ricky Reyes and this other guy. And he put them both on his fucking shoulders like that. I was like, holy shit. I think he Samoan dropped him. Could be wrong. He might have even done something more powerful. I'm telling you. I mean, you know, how many times have you seen a big guy do a double suplex? How many times have you, you know, I mean, shit. Well, Johnny Cashmere came off the top of the cage with Dewey Donovan and no, Lobo came off the top of the cage, my fault, with Dewey Donovan and fucking Johnny Cashmere on his shoulders off the top of a cage of death. So, I mean, as far as just two guys on one guy's shoulder, I mean, this has happened with far smaller dudes. Lobo was no Ryback. But, no, it's definitely happened before. But either way you look at it, I see it as like a – it's a nice display of strength. I'm not saying, hey, anybody could do that. But, you know, nobody's ever done that before. Like, you're looking to get called out, aren't you, on your bullshit? But anyway, that's fine. So there was that. There's really nothing more I have to say about that whole thing. And there's obviously been a decline. I mean, you're looking at The Rock versus John Cena. And then you got the John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, which I can't really say is a step down, but it's at least, you're at least looking at a lateral move from The Rock, John Cena. Well, I mean, that had a year worth of build.
But then Brock Lesnar out of nowhere. Brock Lesnar, John Cena. Then John Cena versus Johnny Ace. And then next show, John Cena versus Big Show. This is not going well. John Cena's calendar has got to have, like, fucking frown faces on it. There's got to be, like, you know, his working days must have, like, sadder letters than his last couple months working days. I can't imagine where he's going, like, yeah, I get to work. Fucking Johnny Ace, son. Jesus Christ, I hope this goes well. Oh, great, the Big Show, who, kind of buried the majority of Daniel Bryan's fucking title run. Well, let's see how my main event goes. Oh, I'm sure it'll be fantastic. I'll work on taking a right punch. Oh, Jesus, here we go. It's ridiculous. I can't imagine, I mean, maybe this is their way of trying to get John Cena over as a face again, because he's clearly not been received, you know, over the crowd as a face. He's kind of been mixed bag, you know, let's go Cena sucks, all that bullshit, to the point where they were making t-shirts. The Rock was no way to get John Cena over as a face. And then Brock Lesnar, no matter how much they wanted him to be a heel, people liked fucking seeing Brock come back. And, you know, fucking UFC former champion Brock Lesnar come back in and really start busting John Cena's ass. That's not a way to get a Brock Lesnar over as a fucking heel. So, I mean, I guess they took him off TV. They have their limited TV dates, so they can only do so much with them anyway. But, put Paul Heyman on the TV and allow him to try to create a heel out of Brock Lesnar with the lawyer talk and that type of stuff. And I guess, you know, see what goes on, because, but either way, I mean, I guess try to get John Cena over as a face by putting him against John Laurinaitis in a main event. Then try to put him up against the Big Show. I mean, clearly you can't be booing John Cena when there's fucking Johnny Ace on the other side of the ring. And clearly you can't boo John Cena when the Big Show is on the other side of the ring. I mean, I that's the only thing I could, you know, maybe make an example or make an excuse where it makes somewhat of sense to put John Cena against these guys in the main event. And I'm not a John Cena fan, but clearly he's company guy. And, you know, as resistant to turning him heel as they've been, to put him against these guys is probably a way to fucking steer him back a little more towards the good guy side, because otherwise, fuck, man, what are you going to do? Nick's asking the Chris Jericho thing. They put all this into Jericho coming back and all for nothing. ? He's saying, is it all for nothing? Do I have an opinion on why? Well, I think Jericho was made to be brought in for a short-time thing. I mean, they did everything they could to make him a heel, but I think they drew it out a little bit too long. Now, I don't know if that time that they drew out the heel thing and they drew out before he actually got in the ring, I don't know if they were drawing that out while he worked off ring rust. I mean, I'm only speculating because I don't know, you know, when the date was that he reported to actually start training and working back with the WWE. I mean, it could have been the first day we seen him on TV. He could have been doing his Rock Band shit and then just showed up on TV with a colorful jacket and said, all right, now let's start doing push-ups and fucking judo squats. You know, we'll start doing squats today, guys. You know, and then a couple months later after the ongoing heel trolling gimmick stuff, he decided, all right, well, let me actually get in the ring. And maybe that's when it started. I don't know. I don't know if that was time to work off the ring rust. I don't know if it was just drawn up that way where they just wanted to really draw out this long build as a heel. And when they finally got him in there, is that... did they expect him to be here on that short of a run? I kind of think so, because there was a lot of speculation that he's going back on tour. He's doing some more Fozzy stuff. He's doing all that stuff. So, you know, and then I don't know, the Brazil thing that just happened where I got to look back at that clip, too, to see if I could even see where the flag came from. Because he was pretty much on the ring apron,
and it had a the flag, the Brazilian flag. And, you know, he like, kind of walked in the ring, he crumpled it up, and then he, like, kind of, like, drop-kicked it, you know? And he didn't, like, fucking boot it into the fifth row. He just, like, fucking little tap-kicked it, you know, out of the ring. And, you know, it obviously meant to show disrespect to the home crowd. Now, I mean, personally, I don't know if that was something that you would go and do without knowing that, you know, hey, man, this crowd is ridiculously hostile, and they don't, you know, this country doesn't allow that type of thing. Now, my reason where I think it is more of a work, and it is more of their way of taking him off of TV for a while and just treating him as he's such a despicable heel, look what he just did. I think maybe that has to do with the fact that afterwards they said the authorities thought about pressing charges. He almost got arrested, but they decided to let him off. Like, nah. I mean, if it's a crime against their country, if there's some kind of international law within their jurisdiction that's like, you do not disgrace the flag without serving jail time, they're not going to be like, oh, okay, you were just joking. It's either like a serious offense or it's not. And you can be as patriotic as you want. If it's a crime, it's a crime. If it's not, it's not. And you can just get mad and who gives a shit. But you're not going to say, well, they were thinking about arresting them, but then they said, oh, forget about it. And nah, that's a bunch of shit. Like, they either arrested him because, hey, man, I don't know if you knew this, but that's fucking federal crime. You know, imagine someone committing a federal crime in America and then them just going, hey, you know, we thought about arresting you because that's actually a federal crime, but go ahead, buddy, just get out of here. I mean, that's shit. They let misdemeanors off on that type of thing here and there, like, hey, get out of here, don't let me see you around here again. But if that's some kind of federal crime, which I have a feeling that you know, disgracing a national monument or, you know, the flag would fall into the class of a federal crime if it was a crime over there. I don't think it would be some kind of misdemeanor shit, but like, sometimes we prosecute, sometimes we don't. But I kind of like think that the flag was made to be accessible in order for him to do his heel stunt and that type of thing. I don't know if it was that far out of bounds that it was like, oh, what is he doing to the flag? Like, I don't know. So it could very well just be a way to make him continue to be a badass heel, get him off of TV for a while, you know, make WWE look like the good guys that don't allow that type of thing, and then, you know, bring him back up when he's done with his tour, and, oh, he served his time off TV, and, you know, how often do they, I mean, they could even work a, we banned him from the country, you know, we banned him from Brazil because how often do they tour over there? I mean, unless Fozzy's over there in 2 months or a month, then you kind of look stupid. But, I mean, they could go as far as saying, yeah, he's serving a one-year ban from the country, and then you'd be like, all right, well, we weren't coming back there for, like, another 3 years any fucking way. You know, I don't know. I can't take it that seriously because it didn't look as that serious of a, you know, an offense, or I don't know. But I don't think I have much more WWE talk, honestly. Like I said, this is kind of like a little extra thing. Got a few things to talk to, and, you know, a little bit of shit about. But, you know, well, I watched my Miami Heat win on Thursday. Didn't really get to gloat about that at all. But, yeah, we're the best team in the East. These two teams are... they're battling out right now, and the Sixer fans are, oh, show the world what we're about and all of that, and shut the fuck up. The Sixers only won past the first round because Rose got hurt in game one. Then Noah got hurt by the end of the series. The Bulls fucking injured themselves out of that series. They were the number one seed. The Sixers don't belong in fucking the playoffs right now, but they are. And we'll see you motherfuckers next round if you can get past these banged up fucking Celtics. So I would really love the Sixers to win this game tonight so I can talk shit to their fans for four games, and that's all there will be is four games. So, That's my basketball talk. I started watching this show, which this does have a wrestling tie-in. I started watching the show Hollywood Treasures the other day. I just happened to see a commercial for it on Sci-Fi, and I thought it was pretty interesting because they pretty much catch like props for movies and shit like this, and then they take it to auction, and you see like what different things from fucking movies go for. And, you know, like one key item, these guys treated it like it was the Holy Grail. Like they just fucking discovered a new God or fucking Jesus or something. They're like, oh my God, it's the ruby slippers from the Wizard of Oz. And apparently there's three pairs of ruby slippers. One were like the stand-in for Dorothy. She wore them shits. And then there was ones that they danced in, and those had like felt bottoms on them. And then these were like the close-up version where like people stood around in them and got the close-up, and they didn't have no felt on them. So that's how you could tell there were those versions. It's like the most cherished thing ever. And they pulled them out, and it's like shit looked like the shit they kept Terminator parts in the fucking movie. Like the big fucking metal, crazy fucking combination lockers that looked like they could be refrigerated and shit. Like to keep bodies and shit that's less protective than this. And, they fucking, you know, they walked down this big ass lot. I wonder what was in all the rest of those fucking lockers. See, this is like this guy's house. It was fucking night. It was nuts. So, this fucking close-up version, these fucking things sold for $2 million. $2 million fucking dollars. And I was just like, wow, I mean, I guess that's the Wizard of Oz, where you get those fucking clicks together. But, I mean, the guy that was analyzing them is looking at the bottom. He's like, you see these little swirls? Those came from her clicking her heels together. That's where she scuffed them on the floor, clicking her heels together like that. And I'm like, holy shit, this fucking... these fucking people are crazy. And they had the fucking guy from Rudy, had him on there. And he had his helmet, and he had his helmet like... shit was in like three pieces because he had it laying in his fucking garage for fucking years, and his garage got flooded, and luckily he saved the fucking helmet and all of this shit. And then the guy restored it for him and put it in a case and like propped it up and all of that shit. And like, it's crazy because it was actually the same helmet they used from from when they showed him in college when he had the red helmet, or not college, from high school when he had the red helmet. And then they repainted it when he went to Notre Dame, so it was gold. But when, you know, they had some of the hitting scenes or whatever, he nicked it up, so you could see the red coming through on the nicks. It was pretty cool just to see, like, wow, like, you know, the different things that happened to the helmet through the filming of the movie. Okay, so that's that. I mean, check it out if you want to see it. I think it's a pretty interesting show. Just little bullshit like that. Like, I think it's pretty interesting. So, just the random different shit you see. These one people, they had like a museum in their house. It must have been worth $10, $20 million. It was the stuff they had, costumes, and they had Michael Jackson's fucking bad costume. They had fucking unbelievable shit, like just fucking unreal. The Superman costumes from the movies, and just the list goes on and on. I mean, there was really no, I couldn't remember all this shit maybe if I wrote it down, but I didn't. So, what I was saying about the wrestling aspect of this is because I actually saw something the other day. There's a group page that somebody created. It's, I think it's called like Ultra Violent Fans or something like that. So it's mostly like a CZW based, deathmatch based group. Talking about King of the Deathmatch, mostly CZW stuff and that type of thing. So, you know, and it's a pretty good group. I mean, they got some pretty good combo in there about different things that have gone on, and, you know, the death matches and the tournaments, and, you know, just different matches that people found fun and people sharing pictures and stuff like that. And I haven't come across any douchebags in there, which is hard. You know, when you enter groups and stuff, eventually you leave them within a week or two because they're just despicable people. Well, they seem like a good group of people, but one thing I found really interesting is one guy posted a picture of the pants that Nick Mondo wore in Tournament of Death 2 when he won the tournament and retired after that and stuff like that. There were the yellow UFOs, like yellow-green-ish UFOs. They were all bloodstained and everything like that. And the guy paid $160 for them. They were autographed by Nick Mondo, you know, came from Nick Mondo. $160. And they were like his prized possession that he got. And I was just like really amazed to see that like that type of thing was still around and got sold somewhere. And, you know, I mean, me personally, I wouldn't pay for a wrestler's gear just because I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do with it. Like, I pay for wrestler's autographs. I have a Muda one on my wall. I have a Masawa on my wall. I'm going to see Muda again on June 1st over in Rahway. I'm probably going to get Mil Máscaras. I'm going to get Vader. Vader's going to be there. You know, I'm going to get a handful of guys, and I'm not beyond any of that, stuff like that. But I'm just saying, like, I've never seen that type of thing. Like, this show on the indies, remember this show on the indies? Well, here's the gear from that. Like, I just found it pretty neat, you know? I've actually seen people selling their tights and shit like that. I think right now, actually, the Syrian Portal, on their Facebook, they're selling their masks. They're selling at least maybe their first series of masks, the Amasis, Ophidian, and the whatever it is, Hiracon masks. And I've seen that they're promoting it on there. Again, I mean, I don't know what the fuck I would do with that type of stuff, so it's not something I'm interested in. But, it's just pretty interesting stuff. You know, Tournament of Death. I mean, those are the pants that Nick Mondo came off the roof with John Zandig, punctured arteries in his back, and fucking taped that shit up and came back in the finals to beat Eden Rotten and fucking retires, you know, his shit. You know, it's sick, written on his forehead throughout his career, and then, you know, came down to the finals and wrote dead on his forehead because he knew that was the end. Like, it's just a cool moment, at least as far as indie stuff, as far as CZW goes. And shit, man, I just found that neat. I figured, you know, for the people out there that didn't see that or anything like that, I share that with my Yakuza listeners. And, you know, if they maybe they'll find interest in that as well, go check it out over there. Well, you know, as I was talking about the awesome Nick Burke interview that I did on Thursday, fucking 4 hours, those who want to check it out, you know, learn about the startup of Ring of Honor and his significance in that, learn about, you know, stories about Trent Acid surfing on the car like Teen Wolf. I mean, all sorts of things. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on. His thoughts on DJ Hyde's booking and all that, which we will continue our conversation on, not this Thursday, the following Thursday, because this one will be Teddy Hart. But just a lot of really interesting stuff. But one of those things that came up is he said that Black G's and Joker will no longer be booked on CZW. And that's something that he heard, and I had heard rumblings of that in the past. And I can only semi-confirm that. I mean, you never know, because people tell you different things. And, you know, sometimes it'll be one thing 1 minute, and the next minute, all of a sudden, everybody's back on the card. So as of right now, I think they are getting the fucking runaround, as well as Ruckus and Robbie Marino, which I really can't understand. You look at the history of the Blackout and how much they meant to CZW throughout time and what they were doing, to know that really none of them would, I mean, with the exception, I mean, let's not consider the new Blackout Blackout. With the exception of Chrissy Rivera, and I wouldn't even say Eddie Kingston, because he really doesn't like the work there. That's his own choice. He'll do it here and there, I guess, with Homicide if Homicide wants him to or something like that, but it's really not in his bag to work there. Pretty much looking at the whole Blackout not working for CZW. I mean, I don't know what sense that makes or what kind of positive outcome that can have with pulling that type of talent off a CZW card on semi-permanent or at least regular basis, where instead of just like, you know, These companies, they get locked into this. This is our roster. Here's their pictures. And then, like, you can get into a rift or decide you want to book someone 1 month. And next thing you know, you take everybody's face off the roster. And we don't deal with them anymore. And then 2 months later, all of a sudden, everybody's back on the roster. It makes a lot of stuff look like shit. And I don't really get it. And for a guy, like I said, on Thursday, Jeez has one best of the best. He's main evented in Cage of Death. He's won junior heavyweight title after junior heavyweight title. He's won the tag titles with Ruckus. He's won the tag titles with Joker, two different stables. Well, two different, you know, sets of dudes. Like, he still, you know, was still the same dudes. But he's done so many different things. And to not use that guy for what reason? What are we bringing in that can make a difference? What, we're just going to cut that off and now we're going to push Joe Gacy as a super heel? Come on, man. And what are we doing with the tag division in CZW? I got to know that right off the fucking bat, because first off, you got rid of the Blackout. Their tag division was weak as fuck before. With the Blackout, with Philly's Most Wanted, they still only had a very small amount of tag teams. Azrael and Bandido being champions. They had the Blackout. You know, they had, Ruckus and Alex Colon that they were using. They had the Runaways, Joe Gacy and Ryan Slater. And they had Philly's Most Wanted of Jeez and Joker. Now, they stopped booking Jeez and Joker. They split up the Runaways. And they split up and get rid of the rest of Blackout to make the four loco really three wrestlers and Chrissy Rivera. So even if she's considered a wrestler, you only have but her to put up against Kimberly, Mia Yim. That's the only females that are booked in CZW any motherfucking way. So as far as I'm concerned, you just made the one tag team you had left, three people instead of two, wrestler-wise. And then what? Who the fuck are Azrael and Bandido going to fight now? They're just going to just do that. What are they, just going to randomly pair people up that don't make any fucking sense? I mean, the booking here is retarded. I really can't understand that shit. I can't wrap my head around what people are fucking thinking, and by people I mean DJ, are thinking when it comes to business. You know? And on top of that, you got guys like Jersey All-Pro, you got guys like Pro Wrestling Syndicate, you got guys Ring of Honor, you got Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, that type of thing. Now, CZW has quote-unquote worked inter-promotional or whatever the fuck you want to call it with the majority of those companies. Not all, but the majority. Look at your car, add them to. Majority of those companies. In the history of CZW, even including John Zandig's time, what has CZW gotten out of it? Nothing. Nothing. How much talent has CZW lost to Ring of Honor? How much talent has CZW gained from Ring of Honor? Let's do the math of talent that no longer works for CZW and then now works for Ring of Honor and still works for Ring of Honor. Now, name me fucking one person that used to work for Ring of Honor and doesn't anymore, now work for CZW. Not saying the CZW should be taking talent from other companies and making them, you know, choose them over the other ones, but that's exactly what happens to CZW's talent. I mean, you already got AR Fox and Sami Callihan working Dragon Gate USA and Evolve over CZW. So now when DJ's fucking riding Gabe's dick, running around asking, you know, hey, oh, fucking, you know, for his little advice and all that bullshit on how to book a fucking company, what's the end result? When was the last time we got fucking BB Hulk? When was the last time we got SEMA? When was the last time we got, oh, yeah, never,
Never at all. No, we don't get the bookings of these talented guys that Dragon Gate USA's got. Oh, who do we get? Oh, the guys we're already using. So I guess that's a favor that we're still allowed to use them at all for the sake of you getting them over any time that CCW's double booked with Dragon Gate USA. Guess who's fucking getting the talent? Dragon Gate USA. So I don't know what kind of sense or mind that DJ is using to help take care of this maybe quote-unquote family that CCW is supposed to be, this group that's supposed to be your locker room. I don't know what you think Gabe is doing to help that. I don't know. I mean, I know, you know, you did a good amount of money marking before you owned CCW in order to sway CCW's booking and all that stuff. I don't know, like, maybe your new money mark venture is in Dragon Gate, and maybe you'll start booking matches over there. But as far as CCW goes, I can't see anything positive you're doing involving yourself with these other companies that are taking your fucking talent, walking away, and in the meantime, you're cutting your fucking talent off, going, I don't need you anymore, I don't need you anymore, which kind of looks a lot like fucking advice from Gabe and that, just because those are the same guys that won't get booked, that can't get booked on fucking Gabe shows. So it's amazing that all these guys start dropping off of your roster when fucking those are the guys that Gabe don't want. Seems to me like those are the guys you're going to need when Gabe takes all the talent he does want. It all just fucking baffles my mind. CCW has always been its own thing, has always been its own brand, and never really necessarily needed the outside talent, but Zandig sure as fuck put up a fight to keep his own fucking talent where the fuck they belong. And, you know, he sure as hell didn't take well to Gabe, you know, before he sold the fucking company to you. I don't think you would get a fucking positive word out of him about Gabe. But, again, I mean, you're going to do your own thing. It's your business. You're going to run it the way you want. But, you know, when you run it the way you want to the fact that nobody else likes it, no one else shows up, and you burn your bridges with all these different workers, and you allow the fucking guys in the back to book your fucking shows, and then these are the same guys that are fucking no longer going to be on your shows when other guys outbook them. What are you left with? Joe Gacy is your world champion? Well, good luck with that shit. Because that's clearly fucking put 1,000 people in seats for fucking Force One. No disrespect to them, because I think they run a nice company over there. I think they do a lot of stuff that other guys aren't doing, you know, but it's clearly not CZW, and it's not something that I would recommend for CZW, you know, a company that has put 1,000 people in seats for a Cage of Death or a Best of the Best or that type of thing. You're not headed in the right fucking direction as far as I'm concerned. It's a bad look. So that's just my thoughts on that type of thing. I really don't get it. I really don't get it at all. I don't understand why anybody would consider these things good ideas. Anyway, watch America's Got Talent again, because I've been doing that. Man, they had these fucking backflipping dogs. I never seen a dog do a backflip. So to lead into this Teddy Hart episode that I'm going to be doing, AGT gave me a little preview. They had I think they were like labradoodles or something. These motherfuckers were doing full backflips, straight up, backflip, like one after another, just like crazy fucking handspring backflip joints. I was like, oh shit, those motherfuckers is crazy. They had another guy that just repeatedly got kicked in the balls, like. They had like the rings, like the gymnasts do the fucking pull-ups and all of that iron cross or whatever the fuck they call them, the moves they do. And the dude just pulled himself up on the two rings with his legs spread. And another dude just teed off and just kicked him in the balls like fucking 12 times, 12, 15 times. Then the fucking guy, they had like two guys holding a board in the air, like a straight board, like a 2x4 type thing. And I don't think it was a 2x4, but it was like a board, like, you know, shaped like that. The two guys are holding it, one on one end, one on the other end. Guy jumps off a trampoline,
leapfrogs the one guy and then just crotches himself on the board and eats shit too. Like, he doesn't land on his feet. Like, he takes like a header, like through that fucking thing on his nuts, and then just like eats shit on his fucking forehead. And then like the finale was like he fucking strips his pants off, so now he's just in his drawers. So like, and the judges are like, oh, you're clearly not wearing a cup. So apparently you can see his cock through the fucking pants, the fucking underwear. And then they put fucking cinder blocks on his shit, and they start busting cinder blocks with a fucking sledgehammer on his cock. Jesus Christ. And he does like a couple of them joints, and the one looked like the cinder, he kind of missed the cinder block and just hit him in his shit. Damn. So he's going through to Vegas too for that shit. Oh, man. Just crazy, crazy shit. They had another kid that was the other big story that they had. All the news outlets covered it and tabloids. They had a 7-year-old kid on there, and he was supposed to rap, and he was horrible. And he was fucking 7. So he went up there, he rapped. Howard hit the fucking buzzer, and after the thing, the kid starts bawling, crying. Now, Howard feels like shit. He goes up there, hugs the kid, tells him, hey, man, you're really brave for coming out here and this and that and all this. So, we can't send you. And the kid was fucking crushed. 7 years old and crushed on the fucking stage because of this. Now, the fuck, there was tabloids and there was news places that were like, Howard made a 7-year-old cry and this and that. Listen. The fucking winner of this is a $1 million act. It's supposed to have an act in Vegas. My opinion, fuck all the hate on Howard, fuck all of that shit. The fucking mother should be put in a fucking straitjacket for putting her fucking 7-year-old kid on TV to be embarrassed in front of America, knowing that he can't fucking rap. He's not a $1 million fucking act. You put this fucking kid on TV to get his fucking heart broken, and then fucking Howard catches the heat. Oh, you made a kid cry. No, that fucking mother, that scumbag mother that stood there clapping her fucking hands like her son was doing the best thing ever. And I'm sure the motherfucker would have took all the goddamn money if he ever did win some fucking money off of quote-unquote talent. And yeah, I mean, and she would have bought herself a new car and this and that and just fucking patted him on the back. Nah, go clean your fucking room. Get the fuck out of here. That's a shit parent, putting their fucking kid on there to just get embarrassed, knowing goddamn well he ain't no motherfucking talent. Fuck that, man. Some of these people should be fucking ashamed of themselves, and that's all I really got to say on that. But yeah, anybody out there should really check this show out. You got some motherfuckers that could sing. You got some motherfuckers on there that could dance. You got motherfuckers getting kicked in the ball sack for fucking talent. You got dogs backflipping and shit like this, man. That's some entertaining shit to me. I don't know. There's actual like, there's actual hate. It's all good either way as far as I'm concerned. Well, I pretty much covered my quota. I wanted to do an hour. And that's what I did. I think I'm about to wrap this up. Well, I want to give another shout out to Anthony Missionary Thomas for making that phenomenal intro for me. Love the dude. Great, great, great dude. Wrestling Soup's a great show. Joey Numbers over there. Juan just logged in. I'm fucking wrapping the show up. Fucking maniac. That's pretty much all I got. I just wanted to do this little quick joint, get a couple things out of the way, a couple opinions. I'm going to go in there with Teddy Hart on Thursday, do a hell of a show. The week after that, going to have Nick Burke back. Probably do another couple hours. It's going to be a lot of fucking fun. Nick could fucking talk, that guy. So I'm looking forward to both of these shows equally. And, we're going to talk about backflipping cats on Thursday. We're going to talk about turnbuckles that go up when you text the guy. We're going to talk about so many different things. His feud with Homicide. Him going in and getting in there with Zandig. And Zandig throwing him against the fucking bike strips. Oh, I have so much to ask that guy. He's a very, very entertaining personality. And, check me out Thursday. I think I'm done for tonight. I just wanted to give you guys a quick little extra thing.
And let me close you out with a track. And yeah, I'll give you this. They cut me off of it last week. But yeah, I'll check you out on Thursday. Everybody get up with me then. All right? Peace.
Hey yo, I shattered dreams like Jordan, the sword bat of your team. The squadron will be barred from rap like Adam and Eve from the garden. I'm carving my initials on your forehead. So every night before bed, you see the BP shut off the forehead. Reverse that, I curse that, the first whack. Nigga with the worst rap, cause he ain't worth jack. Hit him with 1,000 pounds of pressure per slap. Make his whole body jerk back. Watch the earth crack, hand him his first back. I'm the first Latin rapper to battle with the soul. Master the flow, niggas be swerving, I'm blacking and cold like Nat King. I be rapping and tongue packing the ones magnums, cannons and gas. It's Big Pun, the one and only son of Tony Montana. You ain't promised mañana in the rotten Montana. Come on, Donna, we need more rhymes. Philip Marijuana, snake bite, anaconda. A man of honor would wanna try to match my persona. Sometimes drama, I blow my own mind like Nirvana. Comma, and go the whole nine like Madonna. Go try to find another rhyme with my kind of grammar. When you awaken, your manhood will be taken. Taken like you say, when I'm the rhyming abomination. When you awaken, your manhood will be taken. Taken like you say, when I'm the rhyming. I'm pure adrenaline, uncut, straight to the gut, medicine, raw cure for pain. I coat your brain like polyurethane, simple and plain. I'll explain it in layman terms. If you came to learn how to make fire, I'ma make it burn higher and hotter than lava. This dollar advisor, as smart as MacGyver, good with honor inside the heart of a liar, involved in the life of crime. Fuck it, I like to shine, up in the white and lime, cut with the pipe and sound, brushed out, hotel, pockets about to bust out. If you're not in it for this finish, get the truck out, take a hike. We can even battle to make it right. Your head lace the mic, you're finished. Say goodnight, head to head in the street. I leave you dead in your feet, settle the beef. I'll even let you rhyme to the Benjamin beat. But it won't matter, your dream's still gon' shatter. It's a long ladder to climb, and mine is on a stagger. So get out of town, before I hit you with the loudest sound you ever heard. Desert bird player, you out of bounds.
You can ramble off the mouth like you ramble, but you slouch. If we battle, you'll be out without a shadow of a doubt. And that's the ugly truth. Killers walk with muddy boots. Once my dogs cut me loose, that's a bullet in your bubbly goose.
When you awaken, your manhood will be taken. Taken like the Satan when I'm
when you awaken, your manhood will be taken. Taken like you're saying, when I'm the robin, the combination. When you awaken,
but you go to the back and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.